Albert Einstein reputedly said, "Incompetence is the true crisis." Exactly if or when he said it is uncertain, but it had to be pre-1955, the year of his death. In 1955, America was approaching its zenith. It peaked at the moon landing in 1969, a feat accomplished by dudes equipped with only slide rules and their own gigawatt brains. They were fulfilling the dream of a visionary president who perhaps saw things a little too clearly, so he was terminated. Since that time, America has been on a downward spiral. As the meme says, JFK put a man on the moon and Obama put a man in the ladies' room. How disastrous is the competence crisis? How much worse can it get? If Einstein feared incompetence in the last century, we ain't seen nothing yet. Stay with me.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Come on, Larry. Larry.
One of the most overused words in our language, overused by jackhole journals and parasite politicians, that would be the word crisis. They'll tack it onto any subject, no matter how trivial and ludicrous. And every time they do, they demonstrate and amplify their own stupidity and mendacity. I did an entire show about that idiotic trend, the Crisis Carnival. It's episode 314 in the June 2021 tab at thatlarryshow.com. Most so-called crises are fabricated by scumbag politicians to scare dim-witted voters into support and or compliance. Like the non-existent climate crisis, that's total bullshit. Or like the homeless crisis, manufactured by politicians who decriminalized open drug usage, shoplifting, living on the street, which includes defecating, shooting meth, and even screwing each other against a wall at noon on a crowded boulevard, all of which I witnessed in Los Angeles. Thank you, Gavin Newsom, whom I predict will replace Joey as the commie candidate. Newsom is, in a word, vermin, a two-legged cockroach with gelled hair and porcelain veneers. The only authentic crisis facing America is the galloping advancement of Marxism, which has produced every other crisis. From the fictions of climate change and systemic racism to the orchestrated invasion at the southern border. But the one that may just take us down first is the big C, the competence crisis. At its low end, incompetence is an inconvenient time suck. How many days of your life have you wasted holding on the telephone or in chat boxes with clueless tech help? At the other end, incompetence can be lethal, as unqualified people in medicine, aviation, police work, and more are making our world a lot more dangerous than it was in Einstein's day. Last summer, I fled California for Connecticut, a place on a similar commie trajectory as California. Since power outages are somewhat frequent here, I decided to buy a generator. I ordered a Honda from Home Depot. When it arrived, the box had big lettering on it warning,
"No oil. Add oil before using."
When I opened it up, there was some oil in the crankcase, and the smell from the gas tank indicated at some point it had been running. These things have no meter to indicate running time, and they can run for years with no external sign of wear. So I'm thinking, either Honda tests them at the factory, or Home Depot just shipped me a used generator. So I called Honda customer service. When I questioned the lady, she stated without hesitation that Honda generators were shipped untested and bone dry, so I'd best return that generator to the retailer, which I did. Home Depot was apologetic and sent me a second one. It arrived in the same condition. How could this be? Well, it was recently college football season. Home Depot accepts just about any return. Maybe people were buying the generators for tailgate parties and returning them as unused, finger quotes. Assholes do things like that all the time. But still, two in a row seemed unlikely. I sent back the second generator. Next, I ordered the same product from Lowe's. It arrived in the same condition, which seemed really damned unlikely. Three in a row. So, I called Honda again. A different person told me that Honda might test them at the factory, but maybe Home Depot had run the engine. I don't like words like might and maybe. Often they are one-word synonyms for the phrase, I got no idea, so sit still while I blow smoke in your face. I went back to the Honda website and found an email contact link. I filled it out describing the situation, and about 2 days later, I received a reply from some dude who began by apologizing for the unclear verbiage printed on the shipping crate, specifically that statement in big bold letters, no oil. He said that in fact, every generator is tested at the factory, then drained as much as possible, but of course there will still be residual oil. I reread his email. It did not contain the words maybe or might. Clearly, he knew what he was talking about. The first woman was clueless and bullshitted me. The second was also clueless, but less emphatic. Both were incompetent. And about now, some may be saying, well, they weren't properly trained. No. Does employee training encourage people to lie to customers? That's improbable. What they should have said was, I don't know, but if you'll give me your phone number or email, I'll check with someone who does and get you a definitive answer. But people don't like to say, I don't know, do they? Many would rather lie in your face and feel, what? What do people feel when they pull a bogus answer out of their ass and dispense it as if it's stone truth? Well, we endured that shit for nearly 3 years from Biden, Fauci, Walensky, and dozens of other liars. Of course, only Joey had the distinction of being a liar and a moron. People like that are head cases, really. They bullshit themselves so frequently that bullshitting others is a reflex. And why not? We live in an age where no one is challenged, even when spewing fantastic untruths. Men claim to be women, women say they're men. People say they are other races, reincarnated queens and emperors, while others identify as cats, dogs, lions, tigers, iguanas, and on it goes. Forever, there was a moldy old joke that guys who'd lost their minds would identify as Napoleon. There were many cartoons and magazines using that theme. Guy says he's Napoleon, and the men in the white coats would show up to put him in a straitjacket. That was then. Now, we must address such nuts as Monsieur Bonaparte. And the government forces his employer to serve bouillabaisse in the cafeteria.
Larry, stay on task.
Okay, back to incompetence. Who gives a shit about generators, really? It's not a matter of life or death. The incompetence that really matters is the kind that can kill you. In May of last year, I did a show about a train wreck that occurred in Chatsworth, California, just a few miles from my former home. The engineer, one Robert Sanchez, was busy texting with an unidentified 16-year-old train buff whom Sanchez had promised to let drive the train. So, he missed the red signal and drove head-on into another train that killed not only himself, but 30 passengers. For those few who recall the Chatsworth train wreck, they probably remember it as a, quote, accident, unquote. But it was no accident. It was incompetence, layered with arrogance, selfishness, and negligence. While operating the train that day, Sanchez sent over 50 text messages. He also used his phone to order a roast beef sandwich. This all occurred while he was driving a quarter-million-pound locomotive pulling three cars containing 222 passengers. There were records of Sanchez having been warned by his supervisors not once but twice to stop using the cell phone. The day after the crash, a railroad spokeswoman issued a statement saying, quote, "We don't know how the error happened, but we believe it was our engineer who failed to stop at the signal." That's pretty straight up, isn't it? But within a few hours, once a politician and the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen got involved, that's a union with 57,000 members, well, suddenly the story changed. The politician, who was also a board member of the railroad, he started telling the press it was premature to blame the engineer. His bogus statement, a classic spin maneuver, flipped the crash from a preventable atrocity into a tragic accident, and there it remains in the mind of the public. Eventually, the NTSB got involved and proved indisputably the engineer was at fault. They established that Sanchez was texting constantly while driving the train prior to the accident. He had allowed an unnamed train enthusiast to sit at the controls in the cab several days before that crash. He was planning to let him run the train between four stations on the evening of the crash. A text from Sanchez said, quote, "I'm going to do all the radio talking. You're going to run the locomotive, and I'll tell you how to do it," unquote. Sanchez's final text was exactly 22 seconds before impact. Of course, he's dead, but why isn't he reviled, despised, vilified? Besides the 30 dead, 135 were hospitalized, many with injuries that will never heal. Because our current culture condones incompetence with the notion that everyone is a victim. What he did was neither an accident nor a mistake. He'd been told to stay off the cell phone, but clearly he thought he was smarter and cooler than his bosses. He thought he could multitask, text, and drive, same as millions of other asshole motorists on our roads and highways. When some fiend grabs a weapon, shoots up a school or a mall or a nightclub, we know his name. Nicholas Cruz, Omar Mateen, Adam Lanza, Audrey Hale, Stephen Paddock. We know those names, don't we? Was Robert Sanchez all that different from them? Are those he killed with a train any less dead than those killed by bullets? It could be argued that shooters are categorically insane. Robert Sanchez was not insane. He was a negligent scumbag who thought he was above the rules. Well, his union didn't feel that way. Incredibly, on their website is a nice obituary of Sanchez. A picture of him smiling and holding a dog. Such a nice man. And here's what his union says about Sanchez.
Locomotive engineer Eddie Robert Sanchez was one of 30 people killed when his Metrolink commuter train collided head-on with a Union Pacific freight train in Chatsworth, California on September 12, 2008.
One of? They failed to mention he was driving the fucking train.
More than 130 others were hurt in the crash, which was called one of the worst train accidents in the history of California. He had been a BLET member for 10 years at the time of the accident.
Accident?
This accident led to the passage of Federal Railroad Administration Emergency Order 26, which banned the use of cellular phones and other electronic devices in the locomotive cab.
They call it an accident three times. And to one unfamiliar with the details, one might assume Sanchez was some kind of hero, that his actions somehow led to the passage of new safety regulations. The culture that denies incompetence also rewards incompetence, as in the case of the Capitol cop who shot dead the unarmed Ashley Babbitt on January 6. Instead of conducting a thorough investigation of the shooting, there was a cursory one by his own force, which of course found him blameless. In fact, the Biden regime declared him a hero. Hell, Michael Byrd declared himself a hero.
I know that day I saved countless lives.
But as the old saying goes, truth will out. It's been established that Byrd was negligent. He once left his loaded service pistol in a public bathroom at the Capitol. Ask any cop anywhere, they'll tell you. That's a huge, huge deal. But more recently, it's been discovered that besides carelessness, Bird has a history of, what would one call it? Maybe being trigger happy? Let Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch describe it.
Yeah, she was an Air Force veteran, 14 years, and she was shot dead in cold blood by U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Byrd. And no one who's looked at that video would consider it to be a good shooting, a lawful shooting. So we represent her widower, Aaron Babbitt, her estate, and a $30 million wrongful death lawsuit against the U.S. government. So this is the government being responsible, specifically Congress, the Capitol Police, et cetera, for this wrongful death, this improper shooting of Ashley Babbitt. There was no there was no justification for the shooting, and as the lawsuit alleges, they should have known, the folks running the police, that Lieutenant Byrd had issues. Indeed, we disclosed in this lawsuit, I want to be specific here, that this is the language we use, knew or should have known that Lieutenant Byrd was prone to behave in a dangerous or otherwise incompetent manner. And many of your listeners and viewers already know about how Lieutenant Byrd's loaded Glock was discovered during a routine security sweep, and because he had left it in the bathroom at the Capitol Visitor Center there, where thousands of people walked through. But what people don't know, and which we're disclosing as or alleging in our lawsuit for the first time, that Byrd's police powers were also revoked for a prior off-duty shooting into a stolen moving vehicle in which the occupants were teenagers or juveniles. The vehicle was Lieutenant Byrd's car. He fired multiple shots at the fleeing vehicle in a suburban area. Stray bullets from Lieutenant Byrd's firearm struck the sides of homes nearby. An official investigation found that Lieutenant Byrd's use of force was not justified. So, you know, I'm not aware of anything happening to Lieutenant Byrd after that. And, you know, we have this shooting death. I can't imagine any honest police officer, senior police official, use of force expert, or even honest politicians to the degree there are any in Congress who thinks that shooting death was appropriate. But the left was desperate, the Biden Justice Department, the Pelosi Congress, to roll over the concerns about her shooting death, because to admit that a police officer improperly killed a Trump supporter would blow up their narrative on January 6th, which is that it was an insurrection. All the misconduct was on the side of Trump supporters, and therefore everything that we want to do against them, censor them, jail President Trump for daring to dispute the election, take the phones of a member of Congress who also objected to the election, try to jail him for objecting to the election in Fulton County and obviously here in Washington, D.C. All that's justified. But this shooting death, we should know, that's the only homicide that happened that day. This poor woman.
Fuel for nightmares is incompetence in the medical industry. You're never more in danger than when you set foot in a hospital, and the actuarial tables bear that out. When my first daughter was barely a year old, we noticed what appeared to be a mosquito bite near her collarbone. But in a week, it was the size of a BB, then a pea, then a ball bearing. The pediatrician was baffled, but the reason he was a terrific doctor was he admitted he was baffled. So he sent us to a specialist, by which time the growth was the size of a grape. The specialist didn't know what it was, but wanted to schedule her for surgery anyway. I don't like guesswork, not in generators and certainly not in my kid's health. This was pre-Obamacare, when you were free to hopscotch around for more than a second opinion. What followed was a bizarre journey through six other doctors. Watching each examine her was nutty. They'd look and touch the growth and scratch their heads and offer a lot of maybes and mites. Just like the woman on the phone at Honda. I called the pediatrician. Imagine that, getting a doctor on the phone? Yeah. I told him what was happening and said, "Come on, doc, pretend it's your kid. Who's the A-team?" There was a long silence. He said he'd call me back in 10 minutes, and when he did, he had the name of another guy who he said was the specialist's specialist. By now, the grape-sized growth was on its way to ping-pong ball dimensions. I called the new doctor, told him what was happening, and he agreed to see her the next day. When he looked at my daughter's neck, he immediately said, "Oh yeah, that's, damned if I recall the name." And then he said he removed one of those every month or so. He was good to his word and did such a fantastic job, there was practically no scar. Not long afterward, my wife had an ectopic pregnancy. Those are commonly fatal. Her OBGYN examined her and assembled a surgical team in less than 2 hours. She was that critical. This, too, was way before Obamacare or DEI. Back when people were admitted to and matriculated through medical schools based on one singular criteria. Were they competent? Did they have what it took to be a doctor? As my wife was rushed into the OR, it was a terrifying time, signing all kinds of waivers regarding possible fatalities. Then her OBGYN appeared with about 6 people in scrubs and said, "Meet my team." They looked like one of those old ads for Benetton fashion. I saw faces from every conceivable ethnicity, black, white, Asian, Middle Eastern, and a couple that may have been a combo of any of the aforementioned. Nothing meant less to me than the color of their skin or the shape of their eyes. The only thing that mattered was, were they competent? And there was little reason to wonder then, because at that time, there was no DEI. Every professional on that team was there for only one reason, merit. They were competent. They were skilled. They had the right stuff. The surgery went off without a hitch, and my wife made a fast and full recovery. And now even medical schools are selecting students, not by excellence, but by ethnicity. This has to stop. It should be illegal to ask anyone to identify their race on any job or school application. It's racist to the core. And all hiring should be done like that TV show, The Voice. Let the candidates be concealed during the interview, so the people hiring have no idea of their appearance or ethnicity. Let intelligence, skill, and experience determine who gets the job. That would not only be fair, it would make for a much safer world, wouldn't it? Then Albert Einstein could rest easy. But wherever he is now, he's probably saying, "I told you so." Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, leave a 5-star review wherever you download. Then, don't just tell your friends, send them a link so they can listen for themselves. If you really like what you heard, go to thatlarryshow.com for hundreds more episodes. While there, click the Patreon or PayPal button and make a donation. If you prefer, you'll also find a P.O. Box address. My friends, the competence crisis is very real. We see it every day with more fuck-ups. In commerce, at the workplace, on the roads, in the skies, and healthcare. What's the fix? The problem is a lot of facets. It's rooted in the decaying culture and politics. So in the meantime, all we can do is be more aware and more careful and ask questions. When they try to bullshit you, keep asking questions until you get an answer that has no maybes or mights. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.